All right. I have something new that I learned.
I want to know about it.
Katie has learned that interpretate is not a word. I swear it was a word.
Why would you need that and interpret?
Well, I guess I was thinking of interpret, but interpret sounds too short. So interpretate is not a word. It was very easy to interpretate is not a good thing to say. I wrote it and spell check was like, no. And I was like, yes.
Add this word to the library, stupid spell check.
So interpret.
Good. So you also save some time since it's a shorter word.
Interpretated.
I just think of potatoes, taters.
Interpretated.
Interpretator dots.
That's a word. That word wrong.
Welcome back. This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the podcast that helps you love your actual life so that you don't need to run away from home. Perfection is nonsense, and peace is a perspective shift away. So who is doing the sugar fast with me, the Revelation Wellness Sugar Fast? I hope you're taking advantage of all the devotionals that they send each morning. They are so good. And perfection being nonsense, I'm really challenging that statement. Usually if I can't do it perfect, I just quit. And I have had some slip-ups on this fast, but I'm not quitting. So that is me growing as a person right before your very eyes. So speaking of growing as a person, I hope you enjoy that cold open where my sister, like literally the light bulbs go off before us. It's so rewarding to see her learn. If you want more of an adult learning the actual words in her native tongue for the first time, plus a lot of other shenanigans, join us in the Patreon group. You get two extra shows a week and a private Facebook group. Go to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. You can join at any amount. It helps the show and it's a lot of fun. So marketing department, circle up the wagons. I don't know why I always want to say circle up the wagons, as if marketing departments are associated with covered wagons and the Wild West. I don't know. But Analia87 on Instagram had an amazing idea, and I need you to know about it, and then I need you to do it. When we know better, we need to do better. So get prepared to do better. Those of us who have kids in school, those jokers come home with a lot of paperwork to sign. And when they are not trying to forge our signatures, my children love to try to forge my signature, I have to sign a lot of papers. And so we can get the word out about this show to all the moms who are struggling well and teaching in our school systems by signing your papers and then putting #momstrugglingwell or momstrugglingwell.com. I don't care which one you do. Just do one of them. Thank you, Analia, for that amazing idea. Marketing department, get busy. You may now uncircle your wagons. Okay, so this week I'm talking to Rebecca Lyons. You probably know who she is. She's written a lot of books. She has lots of wisdom in that head. She just wrote a book about the rhythms of renewal. Heaven knows we need as much renewal as we can get. So let's go ahead and jump right in to my chat with Rebecca. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm so good. Okay, so tell us about your family. Who are you exactly?
Who am I? Well, I'll start with my roles. Okay. It's so funny when we introduce ourselves, we're like, I'm a wife and I'm a mom and I'm a this, but it's like my roles. Yeah. So I've been married to my husband for almost 22 years and we have four children. Cade is 18, Pierce is 16, Kennedy is 14, and Joy, our newest addition of 9 months, is 6. We adopted her from China back in December.
Okay. Where in China? I used to live there.
Oh, wow. Okay. So Guangzhou,
south-ish?
Like the province. Yes. South. Yeah. So okay. She was in a foster home in Beijing for a bit, and then she went back to her orphanage, which was in Nanning. But then we kind of had to go through Guangzhou to bring her home. So okay. I don't really understand it all. We were on three planes.
There you go. There you go. I was so fascinated by the planes in China. As soon as the plane is on the ground, everybody's up and moving around and nobody, like, fasten your seatbelt is not something they listen to. Yeah.
No, they don't really seem afraid of much.
Oh, yeah. And like, don't smoke or stand in line. It's just amazing and different and fascinating. So
it is. So how long ago were you there?
Gosh, now it's been 10 years and we were there for 3 years. So I still feel like I just came back, but not really.
Yeah.
So I have to tell you, very important. I read your book and I was a drum major too.
No.
100%.
See, yeah. You got to lead out with that because that doesn't happen every day.
No, it doesn't.
A kindred female drum major.
Because, oh my goodness, what a group of people, the marching band.
Yes. Yes, we are. We are. And I know Gabe and I always joke. I was like, he was the quarterback of the football team. I was like, yeah, I don't think we would have dated in high school.
That's so funny. I know. I'm like, I was not just a band nerd. I was the leader. Like I was.
Yeah,
the...
for sure. Wow. Like you. Exactly. What was your instrument?
Saxophone.
Okay. See, but that's cool. I played the trumpet. I was like the only girl trumpet player.
That's like super cool. That's extra cool.
But saxophones, like jazz band, you know, you can go a lot of different directions with that. I did do all those different bands because once you're in a drum major, it feels like anything musical that's offered. So it's like marching, symphonic, jazz. I did a youth symphony. All of a sudden, I was like just always with an instrument in my hand. So
yeah,
that was my life in high school. Sounds like that was yours too.
100%. It was really fun. Really fun.
It was fun.
Okay, so bras, they're not our favorites. My sister Katie recently told me she was irate that she even has to wear a bra. I get it, but this is the day in which we live where we have to wear a bra. We might as well make them completely comfortable and lovely. My favorite bra company is Third Love. Certainly you've heard of them, yes? What I love about them, there's so many things, but they have half sizes so that you can make sure you get the perfect fit. So what that means is they have more than 80 bra sizes. And I'm not telling you what my size is, but it is not a normal one. And so a lot of times I have to like dig through the back if I go to a store and they sometimes and sometimes not are able to come out with one, but not Third Love. Third Love has got me covered. No pun intended. The best part is you don't even have to go to the store. They come right to you. I don't know how they do it, but they have a fit finder quiz. There is even an app and it gets your size right. Over 14 million women have taken this quiz. It's actually fun. And when they send the bra to you, they promise it's going to fit well. If it doesn't, you still get to try it for 60 days and make super duper sure. You can even wash it. They don't even care. Make sure that you love it. If you don't, return it and they will give you a full refund. And then they're going to donate that bra to a woman in need. Love it. Love it. Love it. Third Love is the most comfortable bra you're ever going to own. The straps won't slip and there's no tags to be itching. It's very lightweight. I think you get it. I am a fan of this bra. Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everyone. So they are offering Mom Struggling Well listeners 15% off your first order. So go to thirdlove.com/SWP. So this one doesn't use a coupon code. You just have to put it all in the URL. And it's not Mom Struggling Well yet. It's SWP for Struggle Well Project. So again, go to thirdlove.com/SWP and find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off. Again, that's thirdlove.com/SWP for 15% off today. Okay, so you have a history of anxiety and depression. We talk a lot about mental health on this show. And so can you explain? I think that sometimes people think, I mean, I feel nervous, but maybe that's regular or maybe everybody deals with this. And so can you kind of maybe talk about what does that feel like and how do you know this is actually a thing for you and not regular? Sure.
Well, I think for everyone, the ambient noise is raising as a society. So while we would have all considered ourselves stressed a few years ago, and now we're like, no, I actually can't really get a deep breath sometimes. I feel shallow breathing a lot, or I'm sleepless at night. I'm always kind of, my mind won't stop racing. And that's actually kind of the progression of how it goes from stress into anxiety is when you start to see physical symptoms responding to the kind of the mental weight and burden and responsibility that you can't seem to carry well. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like stress goes to feeling a little overwhelmed, and then overwhelmed goes to feeling like, oh, my body's actually kind of rebelling right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think at what point do you say, I need to get some help or This is no longer something I can handle on my own.
Yeah, I do think when you seek outside counsel, whether it's psychiatrist, psychologist, you know, there's a lot of different approaches. It's because you are no longer able to function in the way that you were. And it doesn't mean that you like are crippled in your job yet, but you're just constantly feeling like you just can't keep up. And maybe buried. And then over time, that will look like depression because you're just like, oh, I'm failing at everything. And you start condemning yourself. Like, I'm a terrible mom, or I'm a terrible wife, or I'm terrible. You know, we start doing this like character assassination of ourselves, which doesn't help anything because it's not true. You're not a terrible this, that, or the other. You're at full capacity and your body is saying you need to slow down and you need to get some outside help. And so for me, that looked like counseling because I realized I kept going to the doctor and I was like, I think there's something like wrong with my heart or maybe my lungs. He's like, everything's checking out fine. So finally it was a doctor who said, perhaps your body is responding and can no longer contain an emotional distress that you've been carrying.
Okay.
I was like, well, thanks for that. So what do I do? You're saying that you don't have something for that. Now, granted, obviously we know there are prescription medications that can help keep a lot of those things at bay. But what I also found for myself is that I had some emotional stuff, some just stuff I was holding on to where I was attaching my worth so much, my identity with my accomplishments, with my output, my performance. And if those things started dropping, I started feeling less of a human. And so I realized I was placing my identity in the wrong places and I probably had been harboring some pain that I'd never really dealt with. So counseling for me was a really healthy way to just start to walk this out and to have close friendships in my life that I could kind of say, here's where I'm at. Especially my husband was the first person for that. But then even a couple girlfriends where I was just like, I'm trying to get better. I'm in counseling and Gabe knows where I'm at, but it's like it gets worse if we hide it and keep it in our head. Definitely. Because those thoughts will just spiral and the lies will continue to get louder and you can find yourself buried if you don't invite someone in.
Yeah. And there's so much shame with it that we think I could never tell somebody that I remember thinking I could never tell anybody that I was so angry, like just like struggling with motherhood. Right. And then when you finally say it, then you can say it. It becomes a thing you can talk about.
Yeah. And it loses power. Right. If you actually can exhale, like the thing that you feel so much shame about, if you can just speak it out, the shame no longer actually has control over you. Cause you're like, the whole point of shame is to make you hide and to make you believe the lie that you're better off alone. And so when you face that lie head on and go, no, I'm going to go ahead and confess this out loud to the people that know me best, then all of a sudden shame's losing ground immediately because it's not working. You're like, I'm going to meet you, shame, with just going ahead and outing myself.
Yes.
Because then you always find on the other side of that, that no one's looking at you with condemnation or like no one's saying shame on you that loves you. They're like, what do you need from me? How can I? Because, and we have to actually own that question. What do I need right now? Like, I don't even know. I haven't even had grace for myself in this season. I've actually been really, really hard on myself. And I think that's part of the problem. Once we go down that road is the shame makes you feel like you're the failure. You're the one doing everything wrong. And that can just be this just descending spiral that leads people to despair.
Yeah. So let's talk about that in the context of faith. And even though on some capacity, on some level, we know like God is not condemning us for this, but we would like to condemn ourselves for it or get a little judgy with ourselves about feeling like we should be able to handle this. So how do you kind of resolve that tension?
I've had to get real honest before God, especially in alignment with what his word says. For me, when I read in Romans 8, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Meaning, if we have said yes to Jesus and we want to follow him to the best of our abilities, as long as we have breath, then God does not actually look at us with condemnation or shame whatsoever. Like he, in fact, Jesus clothes us and covers us with his righteousness. So you can literally be angry and yelling at your kids, but because of the cross and the resurrection, God's like, hey, he says in Hebrews 10, he says, I will write my laws on their minds and bind them on their hearts, and I will never again remember their sins or their lawless acts. That's what God's doing. And the thing is we don't know that because we're not often reading those passages to remind us what is true. All we're getting is the lie of the enemy, who is the accuser. And he will come at 3 a.m. when your defenses are down and you're just trying to sleep.
Why is it always at 3 a.m? That's
because
crazy.
He's trying to rob your rest. Because if you can't rest, like I talk about in the book, you can't do the other rhythms. It's the foundation for our health. Rest and sleep is a superpower. And we cannot go out and restore or connect and create if we are being robbed of rest, because rest is actually what rebuilds and refuels your body so that you the next day can not be so anxious.
Yes.
But yet you can't sleep. So you wake up with a migraine and you're already like feeling like I'm behind 10 hours before the day begins. And so I just want to encourage people to go, make sure the lies, if the lies are anything that loop in your head, like you are a terrible anything or you suck or what, you know, it sounds so dumb when we say it out loud, because we're like, if we really believed that about ourselves, why would we even try? And that's the problem. Some people get to where they really do believe that. But I think deep inside us, we actually go, no, I'm trying to do the best I can. I have a good heart here. I am earnest. I might be failing and I might be short tempered, but I love my kids, or deep down, I know I do. And so it's like, you have to meet that lie or that accusation with, no, I'm not going to, and I've done this. So I'm like, no, I don't receive that. And I was like, this is what I know is true. And while I might be failing 4 times out of 8 yesterday, I know that today is a new day, and I am not going to bow down to this kind of lie or fear or attack, because God says in his word that he credits me with his righteousness and that he will be my peace. So I get mad sometimes. Yeah. I do. I'm like, don't you dare. Like,
yes.
Because, and scripture also says, hey, if you use Jesus' name, the enemy will turn around and run. And so sometimes, you know, for me, I'm just like, no, I'm not going to receive this. You have no right or authority in my heart or life because I am a daughter of God.
Yeah. And we would do that if someone opened the door and marched into our house. We would say, get out. But when the enemy comes into our brains, we don't. I have the sweetest little friend, and she's like so chipper and like sunshine. But she's so quick to get lies out, and she will just say, you need to sit down and shut up. You know?
Yeah.
So you have to do that.
Yeah.
Ladies, do you have a vitamin routine that you love? I mean, I usually forget to take vitamins, but Care of fixed that for me. I love Care of. Have you tried them? Whether you're looking for energy, better sleep, lowering your stress, or anything else you need to feel your healthiest, Care of can help. They have a fun, easy, fast online quiz where they ask you about your diet and your health goals and your lifestyle choices. It takes less than 5 minutes. And then they give you all the vitamins that you should take based on what you said. And based on your personalized Care of plan, you'll get the daily vitamin packs or the protein powder sent right to your door. It's cute. It's customized. It has your name on it. You can change your subscription at any time very quickly and easily when your needs or your preferences change. The protein powders, I've tried the vanilla and the chocolate. They're delicious. Not all protein powders are delicious. I don't know if you know that. But even the protein powders are personalized for your fitness goals and your dietary preferences. They also have vegan and vegetarian supplement options if that's what you need. I love my Care of vitamins. They are the reason I take vitamins. I could not remember otherwise. So Care of wants to give all of you struggling moms a discount. You know you want a discount. So to get 25% off your first Care of order, that's a quarter of it, free. Go to takecareof.com and enter the coupon code MSW. Again, 25% off, but you have to go to takecareof.com and enter coupon code MSW.
Well, and the cool thing is I do believe a lot in the power of our words. And So if a thought, you know, we're always told in scripture, take your thoughts captive. You're like, I don't know what that means. It's like, I'm just looping around and around that I'm like losing at life. That's what's happening right now. But instead, when you actually, so I read scripture out loud and sometimes I get real loud when I read it out loud because it's the truth and you can't keep thinking a lie while you're speaking the truth at the same time.
Yes.
So that's how you take thought captive. It's the confession of your lips. You get loud about, because confession isn't just repentance of sin. It's declaring something emphatically that this is true.
Yes.
And so confession might begin in repentance, but it ends in declaration. You're like, yeah, God, I'm sorry that I am indulging fear. But I'm declaring that you have not given me a spirit of fear. You have given me power, love, and a sound mind. And I receive that, and I will not continue to bow down to fear.
Yes, I
and
love
so
that.
Part of that, we have to just speak it. And sometimes people are like, no, I'm a silent prayer. It's like, no, you don't have to do it in front of other people. You can do it in your car and scream at the enemy, or you can do it in your closet or your shower. I don't care. But just get loud. Don't be afraid of it, because I have found in those moments where panic disorder for me was the height of this. It's like, I tell you this incremental scale, but when panic is like, my body's responding as if I'm being held at gunpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not happening. But like you just said, if someone were to come in my house and hold me at gunpoint, would I just sit there and go, okay? Or would I be like, no, you know, and just like literally fight with every fiber of my being? And I think what the enemy knows is we as women are stronger than we think. So he bullies us. He literally bullies us so that we'll be mute and quiet. Yet we actually have this mama bear inside of us.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you didn't. Like we are ready to just full front, like choke somebody. And I think we have to remind each other, like, you have more inside your little pinky finger than you can even believe you're capable of. But the enemy has just shut you down with a bunch of lies. So part of it's receiving that truth again and getting the people around you who slap that out of you too. Like, let's get 100%. Some friends who are like, no, I'm not going to let you do this, because I've seen you when you're alive and this is who you are. And I do that all the time with friends. I'm like, I'm going to speak life over you when you're starting to just spiral, because I'm going to need you to do this for me too.
100%. And even just calling it out. And when they'll say something, just say, that's a lie. That's a lie.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, one so girl important. Told me once after speaking, she's like, I'm an agoraphobic and I've been that since birth. And she's like, and sometimes God just doesn't want to heal. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, obviously there's this full redemption of healing that we see some now, we see some obviously not in this life.
Yeah.
But she kind of came to the point like, God made me an agoraphobic. Like, that's how I am. That's who I am. That's my identity. And I was like, well, that's actually not true. He did not make you to actually be afraid of encountering people. So let's start with that. You could say, I struggle with this, or it comes against me, or I face this, but don't take on that identity, because you're a daughter and you're chosen and you're beloved. And so I write that chapter in this Rhythms of Renewal book, like, know your identity, because the labels don't define you at all. They have nothing to do with who you are. They have everything to do with what's coming against you. But the minute you take on that title, I'm ADHD, PTSD, like I'm, it's saying I am all these things versus no, this is just the stuff that I have to do battle with, but it doesn't define who I am.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I'm actually in the season of acquiring a lot of labels for one of my children, and it's really tricky, because you want they're helpful to get pointed in a direction of assistance, but it is really tricky to not let them sink in as who you are.
Well, and I write that whole story about how my kids are like, what's Down syndrome? Because they only knew their sibling as Cade. And it wasn't until kids started making fun of Cade and someone's like, oh, your brother has Down syndrome. I'm like, hey, Down syndrome is a label to help the world understand what Cade is faced with. But Down syndrome is not at all what we filter our relationships, our intimacy, and our affections through in our encounters with Cade. It's really more for strangers than it is for family. It's irrelevant to me. We all know Cade learns differently. It takes him a little longer. His verbal is a little harder to process and understand. But he's still Cade. And until, and when they were younger than him, so they're just like, this is just how Cade does things, you know, like everyone's quirky. So I like to say it in that chapter, like the label is helpful in getting you the resources you need. Down syndrome allows Cade to have an IEP in the school system and get a lot of special assistance. But it has nothing to do with who and how we see him. And so if your kids do get a label or a diagnosis, just say, hey, this is actually just to help professionals come around you. But you are chosen, beloved. Your identity is your name, your sonship, your daughtership. And I think in our life of faith, sometimes we act as orphans. But God's like, no, actually, I call you mine. And now we're family. And I see you as my daughter. So why in the world would I ever allow the enemy to bully you or threaten you in the middle of the night? So we have to go, oh, yeah, you're right. Yes, Father, I am yours, right? And that's why he puts his Holy Spirit in us to help us agree with that. Because if we don't agree with that, we'll just let the enemy have a heyday. And so I think with our kids too, we don't want to let them agree with these labels like, oh, there's something wrong with me. No, it's just something that comes against you. And it's to help people get you all the support you need.
Yes, that's so good. It's hard to realize sometimes that you are agreeing with things that you shouldn't be agreeing with. There's so much, we have to do battle and we have to be vigilant, and we can't do that if we're not resting, right? It feels pie in the sky to think about, oh, just restful, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't feel like something we can actually do. So your book, though, is very practical. What would you say could be a takeaway that someone could just do today to hold on to their rest?
Yeah. Well, I think usually the ones who are anxious, like you and I know, are the ones who don't feel permission to rest. Mm. It's almost like we beat ourselves up and go, well, you only got like 4 of the 8 things right yesterday. You got to double down today. Yeah. And yet I do think you can't give what you haven't received, which is why the input rhythms are rest and restore before you ever get to connect and create, right? Before you ever turn your face outward and go, how can I serve and love and put these things out into the world? It's like, no, have I actually received just the love and the peace and the quiet? So for me, a couple practical steps in rest are morning routine. It's just like I changed how I started my day, and I outline it in that chapter. Yeah. Another one is take a walk, for crying out loud, or take a nap. It's amazing. Everyone until this century took naps in the middle of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And then technology changed all that and reordered the natural circadian rhythms of our bodies. And so our bodies are like, oh, we don't like this. Like I read a book last year called Rest, and it was not a Christian book. It was a science book, but it just like did all these studies of like Charles Dickens and famous presidents and, you know, like scientists. And it just said they did so much in their life and they all took naps after lunch.
Yes.
And then they did correspondence, which is their version of email, from like 3 to 5, but their creative hours were in the morning.
Love
like
it.
Their innovative hours, where it's like original thoughts and ideas, were from like 9 to 1. They'd eat lunch and then they take a nap. I'm like, what? Okay.
Sign me
America,
up for that.
We need to take some notes here, because we are tired because we don't have permission to rest. And so then I do a chapter called Routines for Deep Sleep, like how to prepare your bed and your mind and your bedroom and your heart before you go to bed. What blue light does, what red light does, you know, that kind of stuff. People, we just need to know some practical things to help us. Your diet, like don't eat a few hours before bed, because your body works hardest to digest in the middle of the night. And that actually wakes you up.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wine also makes you like mellow out, but then it stops. And when it stops, that wakes your body up in the middle of the night. There's just some things we don't understand, like we caffeine to wind up or whatever our, you know, choice is to wind down. And our bodies are like, no, 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 you're actually messing up the natural rhythms of what your body wants to do. So someone said, take a walk. Someone told me recently, take a walk in the evening, because the red light from the sunset is a natural melatonin for your body.
You're kidding me.
No,
that's amazing.
Instead of looking at your blue light on your phone, which tells you to wake up. So don't even look at your phone if you can. Like I put my phone in the other room now. I try not to look at. The problem is social media really says like, hey, get on at 8. Everyone's getting on at 8. I'm like, that's why we're all anxious.
I know. No kidding.
So I personally am now feeling convicted, like, okay, maybe I need to just say a rule, like I'm just going to do my social media during the day and whoever sees it, sees it. Because after dinner, I need to be done, you know, and I'm not trying to be like legalistic about this. There's going to be exceptions, but for the most part, you don't really want to be on your phone at all after 8. And if you can bump that back to like 7, 6:30, you know, it's more time with your family, which that connection actually brings this, like, and I talk about this in the Connect chapter, is this, these levels of serotonin, and like, it's like we need human contact with our people at night. And that actually brings a calming effect on us as we are ready to go to bed. So
that's probably why kids get so chatty at night.
Oh, for sure. Like when you want to do tuck in, that's when you hear all the secrets, you know, that's when, like, and they feel safe. And so it's like, gosh, wow, the Lord actually ordered our lives to work in such a way that we would flourish. We have fought against that with our man-made versions of what our day should look like.
Yes.
So this is not a to-do list book. This is an undo list book. Mm-hmm. Take off all the extra burdens you have attached because of a cultural norm and go, hey, what does God actually say about rest and food and connection and creativity?
Yeah.
I want to get back to that.
I have a question. As someone who is writing books and launching books and speaking all over the country, do you ever feel like, I mean, I'm sure you don't get this perfect every time regarding rest. Are you actually living it out?
Yes, sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not. Right now, I just pre-launched the book, you know, recently, and that created stress because stress comes partly from expectations, right? You're like, oh, I got to do this well and I got to make sure everybody's happy. And it's for expectations I put on myself. It's not even like other people are pressuring me. I'm like, I just want to honor this commitment. I want to steward this well. This is an opportunity. I don't want to take it for granted. I want to work really hard. Yeah. But with that comes just stress that doesn't allow for sleep as well. But these first 9 months of the year, though, we adopted joy and I made a deliberate decision where I used to travel every weekend from September to May. I only traveled 5 times, 1 overnight each time in 6 months because I was like, I'm going to bench myself and I'm going to live this, obviously. And I lived it last year too. I got offline for 3 months in the summer. And so now I'm like, Lord, I need you to help me with these rhythms, obviously in a busy season, knowing that I'm now also, I enjoy the rhythms so much that when I start to feel them pulled away because of pressure, I was like, no, I'm going to guard these. This is what actually made me healthy.
Good. Okay.
So for 9 months, yes. And I can see this fall looking at it like, ugh. But at the same point, I know, okay, then I'm just going to have to be bullish about this, knowing that this is kind of an intense couple months. And I'm going to have to be really deliberate, but then it'll get easier and more natural as the holidays come.
Okay. Which is kind of the opposite of how it normally goes for us.
Yeah. I know for me, the holidays are like, okay, you guys just send me exact links of what you want for Christmas.
I love that.
Because, I mean, the kids are old enough. They're all teenagers. They're like, no, we know what we want. Please don't get us something that we want to return. And that's, I'm like, great. Yeah, done. So, yeah, I think pick your battles on the things that stress you out. We all do the tree together. You know, we do Friendsgiving where it's a potluck. You know, I'm just like, let's just, and I write about a lot of that in the Connect section.
Yeah.
Because I just think life is, and holidays of all things are not made to stress us out.
No. Okay, I have a question. And then we'll wrap it up. But so as a mom who is super tired, I think so many moms are busy with their own things. And you say you need to rest and restore before you can kind of look outwards and serve. I mean, I think my thought is if I were to allow myself to really restore and rest, I don't know if I would ever get to the next part. I think I just feel so depleted that.
You probably need an extended sabbatical.
Yes.
Yeah, I would have taken this entire year off because I taught and I was writing and teaching pretty regularly for 7 years. And God actually has this rhythm of rest. I don't know if we are clear on this, but he says, hey, crops should grow for 6 years and then you rest the land on the seventh. And when Israel didn't obey after 70 cycles of this, after 490 years, he exiled them from the land so the land could rest for the 70 years that Israel did not obey. Can you believe that?
Wow.
God was like, I'm not optional. This rest is not optional to me. This isn't like, if you feel like it, go ahead and Sabbath on Saturday. No, this is actually made for your flourishing. Mm. So if we have had a decade of no rest, God's going to be like, you know what? Let's make up for that with, 70 Sabbaths. And maybe you take 3 months off. Maybe you can't afford to do that. And I certainly want to honor and respect that too. But then maybe you're going to have to get real proactive about your weekends. Like kids, like unplug, no screens. Let's do a fun like bucket list for the fall. Like what pumpkin patch do you want to go to? In my Restore, there's a chapter called Permission to Play. Mm. Like you have got to get out there and find your inner, like your little girl, right? You got to find the girl who laughed and bring her back out. And this is going to come. And so trust me, after a long season of the Rest and Restore, you will eventually come back strong. And it doesn't mean you're like, you know, guns blazing. It'll come from this natural overflow, not pressure to perform.
I love it. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I know you've got to go. Thanks for spending time talking to us today.
Thank you for having me. It was such a joy to be with you, girl.
Did you love that? I loved that. I say that every week, but honestly, I love them every week. So what are you going to do? How are you going to struggle well based on what Rebecca said? So in the book, she talks a lot about her stress morphing into this anxiety and then further into this kind of panic disorder that she could not handle on her own. She said at one point that her body could no longer contain the emotional distress that was going on inside of it. I know that some of you can identify with that. I wish you couldn't, but I know that some of you can. So maybe you struggle well this week by inviting someone in. Don't be ashamed that you're struggling. If you've learned anything by listening to this show, you should know you are not the only one struggling. One of my jobs is to make you feel real good about your life, and I hope that I have. I share my struggle. Tell someone about your struggle. Shame will lose its power if you bring it into the light. Yeah? She said that the enemy likes to bully us because women are strong. So maybe you struggle well this week by just saying, nope, do not receive the lies. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. I would encourage you to read that over yourself. Homegirl, you got a shield. Put it up. Do not accept those lies. There is no condemnation. That means none. No means none. Maybe you struggle well this week by reading scripture out loud. I love what she said. You cannot think of lies if you're speaking the truth. So declare it emphatically. Speak the truth over yourself, over your household. That is a mom struggling well right there. A mom loudly reading the word of God like a crazy person, but it's good. We need that. We really need that. Okay, so when she said that we sometimes are mama bears and sometimes we've just got to stand up and say no to the enemy who's trying to jack with us, this week at my job, I had the opportunity to teach a class that I created, and it's not going to make sense why bears were involved, but they were, and just trust me that it made sense. But I learned some amazing things about bears. So you know bears hibernate, and the moms hibernate, because there are mother bears, yes? Or there would not be baby bears, and bears would be extinct. Okay. But the hibernating moms, their heart rates slow from like 100 to 10 beats a minute. Like everything, they go from using the normal amount of oxygen in their brain to using 2% of the normal oxygen in their brain. Like everything shuts down. But a mama bear, they actually give birth while they're asleep. They don't even wake up. What? That's amazing. And then the babies know to start drinking milk from the moms. I don't know how they know that, but God is amazing in the design that he made. So, but the point is, a mama bear, they've tested this, and if a hibernating mom, if you get within 50 feet of a mother with cubs, it will come out of its hibernation. It doesn't even wake up to have the babies. But if you are close to them, that's not going to work well for you. So I loved that she said mama bear, and I thought, wow, they really are fantastic. They really are strong. They're amazing. And I think that we do not give ourselves half as much credit for how strong we are, because we are daughters of the King. So let's go ahead and stand up to our enemy who's bullying us. So maybe you struggle well this week by coming out from under some labels that you've decided define you, because they don't. Like she said, they help professionals give you the care that you need. They define what you're faced with and what you do battle with, but they do not define you. Speak that over yourself this week. Speak that over your kiddos who are struggling. Maybe you struggle well this week by giving yourself permission to rest. Take a nap. Go on a walk. We cannot help our children feel restful. Our homes can't be places of peace if we are not restful and at peace. They just can't. Rebecca said that stress comes from our expectations a lot of times. And so maybe you struggle well this week by having an honest look at your expectations. And honestly, even if you say, you know what, I'm going to change my expectations, probably a couple minutes later, you're going to have to remind yourself that you changed your expectations. It is not easy to turn the Titanic around. It is slow, and you have to keep on circling back to try to continue to keep the ground that you've gained. But maybe try to lower your expectations. See if that doesn't help your stress. All right, ladies, if you have not subscribed to the show, I am so confused. But go ahead and do it now. Next week, we are going to hear from my friend Meg Dirksen. She's the one who started the Whatever Craft House. October, I am talking to my friend Sarah Beth. This conversation was so amazing. It just went on for so long that it's going to be 2 episodes, and you are going to be on the edge of your seat. I can't even believe the story's real, but it is. I got lots of great stuff coming your way, so make sure you're subscribed. When you shop on Amazon, use the show's affiliate link, please. Pretty Please with Sugar on Top. It doesn't cost you anything. Just go to amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell. Amazon gives a couple pennies to us that they would otherwise keep for themselves. I think they have enough. That's just my opinion. And also, last but not least, there are 2 more weeks left to get your Mom Struggling Well shirts. All the proceeds go to the Moms We Love Club, helping moms in long-term struggles, financial, medical. So it goes to a great cause, plus you get a shirt that is incredibly soft and lovely. You can get those at momstrugglingwell.com/shirts. All right, let me pray for us. God, thank you that we're covered before and behind. Thank you that you are our armor. You're our shelter. You're our high tower. God, would you help us this week to live like that's true, because it is. God, help us to draw near to you instead of food or Facebook or anything else that is vying for our attention. God, would you help us to dig into your word and be renewed by reading the truth? Lord, would you humble us enough that we would actually apply the word and be changed? Thank you that you're not mad at us and that you don't feel like we're messing up, because a lot of times we're pretty sure that we are. Thank you for loving us. We love you back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, moms. Sometimes your kids don't say that you're doing a good job, but you really are. Have a great week of struggling well.